Bring in Jonas Siegel now, our good friend from The Athletic. Jonas, how are you today, sir?
I am just trying to process everything.
It's crazy. I know. It's you get this sheet of numbers on an email sent to you, and you sift through it. What you can tell is a lot of goalies have signed. Bernier is the most expensive, but when you look at everybody, the term on the contracts, there's only one for six. There's several at four, and the rest are one, two, and three, which tells you that one of the currencies out there is, in fact, the contract term, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't love any of these deals, really. Even the Mrazek one, but the question then becomes is like, you may not like it, but would you rather have no one, or would you rather have one of these guys who is like, you know, would you rather have Braden Holtby like for 1 year? Like, so you kind of have to choose. Do you want to commit to one of these guys who you might be like so on, or choose one of these veterans who might not have anything left? Like, there's not, I think the way I'm looking at it with the goaltenders is, there weren't a lot of great options. Mrazek, to me, is kind of a question mark. The length of the deal, I don't love, given his track record. But I don't see a lot of great options out there. This is where I'm at.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. The market is not blessed with a long-term answer. But maybe that's the way this operates while we're under a flat cap is, You take a chance. If it doesn't work, you're not committed, so you can get out of it. And maybe there's a lot of, aside from, as I said to Carlo earlier, the Leafs have a core of eight, four up front, four on the blue line. Everything else is replaceable at this point. So you audition, you try things. If it doesn't work, you move on. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't know that you can move on so easily from a goalie. Like, if Mrazek doesn't play well next year, you've got 2 years left at almost $4 million. Like, I'm not sure that there's a lot of teams lining up to take that contract. Maybe there are. I can't see it. That's why the 3 years is kind of, I don't know what to make of it. Darcy Kemper is a name to me that always made the most sense, aside from like someone like Marc-Andre Fleury, who was going to be a non-starter because of the cap hit. But like, Kemper only had 1 year left at $4.5 million. And I like that idea more because the Leafs could take next season and see what happens. See how Campbell performs, see how Kemper performs, and then both guys would be free agents, and you could kind of decide where you want to go and goal. Here they're committing to Peter Mrazek for 3 years, and I don't know what they're going to get. And that's kind of what's not great about this is you're kind of betting your goaltending on Peter Mrazek and Jack Campbell. And really, to me, it kind of feels like Campbell probably has to be your guy, but who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with him next year?
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying there. It's a little precarious in terms of term, but I just feel that, you know, even when we get to the wingers, whatever the Leafs do, it's you need flexibility because they've given the flexibility away with certainly the four forwards. So anytime you can get in and out, it's a good thing. But the 3 years for a goalie that you don't know is a commitment, and that may be a problem or not. But like many of the things that the Leafs are looking at here, we won't know until it happens.
Yeah, well, the problem for them is they're probably going to get priced out. And now with Mrazek, they don't have a lot of space. And obviously they signed Michael Bunting, and I like the Bunting signing. Like, to me, that one makes a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons. But this is the choice you make when you decide to stick with your core. Like, I understand everything that they've said about those four guys and believing in them and sticking with them. But there are prices to pay when you decide to go that route. Like, I didn't understand why they wouldn't have or why they didn't choose to, like, look around with those guys in the offseason. Now, we're not talking about Matthews, obviously, and we're not talking about Tavares. You're talking about Nylander and Marner, and you're talking about potentially moving one. Like, I never understood why you wouldn't just explore. And maybe you don't come up with anything that works, but when they signed those contracts, Jim, like, they weren't expecting the cap to stay flat. So in light of the current conditions with the salary cap, in light of some of the playoff stuff, it made sense to me to at least look at it. And they chose not to look at it, and the choice means you don't have a lot to spend in free agency. You have to let Zach Hyman go. You can't really spend that much elsewhere on the roster because you just don't have the space. And so that's kind of the cost of the approach that they're taking.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think moving forward, because the window of tolerance, I guess is the way I'm going to say it, the window of tolerance for a stumble out of this team gets slimmer by the second. And so if it doesn't start well, I mean, you have to be prepared that because the economics have changed, just like any other business, you know, deals were set up under a certain economic situation, and now that's gone. So you have to have plan B lined up, and you know, if things don't work out, what are you going to do? Well, you have to re-examine your commitment to the top four. I don't think there's any question about that.
Apparently, they do not agree, because obviously they decided right after the season that they believe in those guys. And listen, like, they could still be right. Like, I know right now it's not great for management in terms of the public perception, but there's a very, like, it's a strong possibility that next year they have a really good regular season, they win a couple rounds, maybe even they go deeper than that. Like, that's not really, that wouldn't be a surprise. So it's not like a crazy bet they're making, but it carries, you know, holes and risks, and we saw that last year. Like, they can say, you know, our captain was out for all but six games of the series, and he played 2 minutes in game one. But that's part of the risk. Like, when you're so top heavy and one player and one of those top players goes out, like, you just don't have a lot of great players left over to fill in because you're committing so much to those four guys. So it's a risky strategy. I think it can work, but it's certainly got some like holes and risk and all that stuff packed within it.
It's a gamble, and I think that's the best way to describe it. So let me ask you this, because there is that premise that, you know, if you were the most optimistic Leaf fan, you would come up with a scenario whereby they might get pretty deep or win a cup. But what is acceptable? What would be a successful season for the Leafs in your mind next year?
Well, I'm of the opinion that, like, unless they're winning a cup, the season is not a success, because, like, these are cup years. Like, they only have Nylander and Matthews under contract for three more seasons. So to me, any season they don't win a cup right now is not a success. I don't know if I'd say it's a failure, but it's not a success. So, like, to me, at least if you win a round, you kind of get this massive monkey off your back. So, like, that's, if they just won one round, is that a successful season? I guess. I don't really think so, but it would clear a lot of the consternation, I guess, around the team right now. And I mean, to me, that's probably the minimum for them. And if they can go beyond that, then I think the vision that they have, the Leafs have for their team, gets a little bit more credibility, because right now the credibility isn't there because they just haven't done it.
Yeah, you know, so if you got into the second round and went out, or even in the third round, then you have a list of deficiencies, which would be painful because you wouldn't have the money to solve them. I mean, this is an all or nothing premise, isn't it?
Yeah, but I, at that point, you know, the roster, who knows what the roster will look like at that point. Like, this is another part of the way that they've gone. Like, you need to be able to draft really well, and that hasn't happened to this point. And to be fair to Kyle Dubas, like, he's been the GM 3 years. It's, you can't really expect his drafts to be paying off at this point, but this dates back to 2014 when Brendan Shanahan became president. So they haven't drafted well enough. That would help them a lot because it would be cheap contracts, young players playing for nothing. And then the other thing is, like, you need to really hit on free agency, and you don't have a lot of money to do it. So you have to find, like, these value buys, and maybe Michael Bunting is one. Like, he fits the profile of someone who could outplay his contract. Like, they tried last year with Jimmy Vesey. They tried with Travis Boyd. Those didn't work out. That's the kind of player you're talking about, because you just don't have the money to compete. And that's the system that they've chosen. And can it work? Yeah. But it requires you kind of hitting the dartboard quite a few times.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, for me, it's a return to a game that I don't like, and it's called the next guy who walks in the door is going to be the final piece to the puzzle. And I don't agree with that at all. I think, you know, it's nice to have people walk through the door that are going to contribute, but it's on the core for me. How about you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's why they're paid the way they are. And it's funny, they've taken, obviously, a tremendous amount of heat. I don't know that they just didn't produce. I mean, for a big chunk of that series, even though they weren't putting points on the board, that top line is pretty good. But, like, it's results. Like, you need results. And for next year, they need those guys to be great, especially with the fact that they're going to lose, that they've lost Zach Hyman. They need their best players in the playoffs to be their best players and to produce. And I don't think it's crazy to think that that's going to happen. Like, I know it doesn't feel that way given the way these last couple playoffs have gone, but it can change really quickly. Like, your reputation can be one thing one year and completely change another. Like, we just saw it in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. Like,
right.
They were known for not getting it done in the playoffs and coming short, and Giannis having all these questions. And then one playoff happens, Giannis goes to another level, they win a championship, and all that stuff is gone. So that can happen with the Leafs. I think it's important to remember that.
Oh, I agree with you. I think, you know, if the Leafs were to win a Stanley Cup, people would then predict dynasty, and then there'd be a small group that would argue, why didn't they sweep the Stanley Cup final? I mean, that's how volatile the fan base can be. So let's talk about Bunting. He's the ad up front and well-respected, and I think everybody understands the fit, and that leaves him with about 4.6 to spend on another winger or two. What do you think they're up to?
Well, the question is, like, what can they afford, and who can they afford? And I would have liked, and maybe it'll come through, like, I think they need another center. So whether that's, like, a fourth-line guy like Derek Ryan, he doesn't really solve the center spot that I'm looking at. Like, I think, you know, Alex Kerfoot is better on the wing. But they just might not have the money. Like, look at some of these contracts that are being handed out. Like, they just can't really compete with most of that. So they need to find guys like Bunting and take chances and try to find value. And you know what, Jim? Like, we forget this every offseason. What their roster looks like on the first day of camp is not necessarily what their roster is going to look like
right
in game one of the playoffs. So if they come to find that they're not strong enough still in that third-line center spot, for instance, they can go and trade for a third-line center. And that's not easy, obviously. We saw last year how those things can kind of go awry, but it's not like you're locked into the roster. So we'll see. But the way that they're structured now, obviously they need their best players to be even better, probably.
So you mentioned Derek Ryan, and as you said that, I have a note here from Ryan Rashog saying the Oilers have touched base with Derek Ryan on a possible, looks like a three-year thing with an option. Wow.
Seriously.
Yeah, so I don't know how true that is.
That is a long commitment. I think he's like 35.
34, yeah. Crazy. But, you know, that's you know, if they decide he's the missing piece, guess what? That's what the market does, right? So they're probably not going to pay him a lot, but they're going to give him term, which is what Bogosian got with Tampa.
Yeah, and those are no-goes. Like, that, I mean, Bogosian was a different case, and they want to replace his contributions and his role. It's just like you look out there and you look at all the options. There's just not a lot of options, and the ones that are out there, like Ian Cole was a guy who I thought made a lot of sense, but he's probably going to get $3 million if the contract hasn't been announced already. Like, he's going to get way more than they can afford. And again, this is what you kind of sign up for, and this is what you didn't sign up for. Like, they didn't sign up for the cap to be flat, but they signed up for the fact that they're going to stick with their core. And the ramifications are you just don't have a lot elsewhere to spend.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what we say here, I mean, the Leafs are going to add another forward or two. How it fits in, is they're going to figure that out. But moving forward, I mean, it seems to me the goalie tandem is something that develops over the course of the year, and the left side on the forward unit develops over the course of the year. Would you agree with that?
The forward group?
Yeah, the left side and the forward group is sort of wide open as we speak right now. So this is going to be, I'm going to call it an open audition. You've got people like Robertson and maybe Joey Anderson that get looks. I mean, this is not, you're not going to break camp and say, this is the left winger on the left side of Matthews and Marner.
I mean, who knows? Like, yeah. We're still so early into all this. Like, obviously, free agency is one path to changing the roster. They can always make trades. Like, they may decide to trade for a left winger. Obviously, one of the guys, you know, that they looked at last year and had some success with was Alex Galchenyuk. But all these guys, like, Galchenyuk is one. Like, he comes with serious question marks. And obviously, if they wanted to sign him, he probably would have been signed. And maybe they're taking the approach, like, we'll look around, see what we can find in free agency, and circle back to him if it doesn't work out. It's hard. Like, you go back to the offseason before, like, they trade Andreas Johnsson and Kasperi Kapanen to clear some space and fix a hole on defense. And then what happens? suddenly your forward group isn't as deep as you like. Like, it's just a balancing act under the cap. And so their defense is in a better place than it has been. And now their forward group has some questions. But again, it comes back to those four guys. If they're good enough, like, you should be able to stick, I don't know, $1 million player next to Matthews and next to Hyman, and the line should still be maybe not as good, but still pretty dangerous. And I think that's probably where they're at this point.
Jonas, appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
Jonas Siegel from The Athletic covering the Leafs, of course. And yeah, it's a...